Let's turn now to Nigeria, where we have been closely following the story of the more than 250 schoolgirls who were abducted by the extremist group Boko Haram back in April. A top-ranking military official there says the government now knows where the girls are being held, but that it is too risky to try and free them by force. About 80 U.S. service members are now deployed in neighboring Chad to support efforts to find the girls. Critics of the Nigerian government, both there and abroad, have been increasingly vocal, saying that President Goodluck Jonathan was too slow to respond to the crisis and has waited too long to accept international help. At this program, we have been eager to hear from a representative of the Nigerian government about all this, and we are pleased that Dr. Doyin Akupe is here to give us the government's perspective. He is a medical doctor, but we are hearing from him in his capacity as Senior Special Assistant on Public Affairs to President Goodluck Jonathan. He's here on a visit to the U.S. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
We understand that four more girls have escaped. Can you confirm that? And can you tell us anything that you've learned from the girls who have been able to get away?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of disinformation on this whole saga of Chibok girls. I was here when the news broke that four new girls, you know, have escaped. If you understand the topography and the area and the kind of terrorists that we're dealing with, you know, that will astonish you, because these are young girls, 15, 16, 17. You know, how can they, you know, escape just like that, you know, from a major forest that even strong men fear to enter?
So you're saying it's not true?
No, it's not true. I have actually investigated it, and I have, the truth of the matter is that this is what happened. On the night of the abduction, you know, while the terrorists were rampaging the place, of course, you know, there are over 200 girls, you know, in a place. They won't just sit down and, you know, not try to escape. So many ran away and ran into the bush. So in the next morning, you know, they started to come out one by one, you know, and that's how, you know, people said so they escaped from the abductors. They didn't, it wasn't, that is, that was not what
they were never taken. They had managed to hide.
Yes, many of them managed to hide. So these new four, really, you know, were people who, parents have initially declared that they were missing, but when the governor of the state, you know, tried to do a verification exercise in the last 2 weeks, they found four new parents whose children were declared missing, but who had, you know, their children in custody.
I see. So is it true, to your knowledge, that the military does, in fact, know where the girls are? Do you believe that to be true?
It's not a matter of belief. Mm-hmm. I am in government. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm also aware mm-hmm. that they've known this for quite a while. Mm-hmm. The issue had been, you know, what do you do with this type of information? You understand? You know, people, you know, have always generally thought Nigerian security agencies, the military, are inept and incapable, which is absolutely untrue. These are the same people that fought wars all over the world, you know, and have got, you know, accolades everywhere. The United States of America declared three major terrorists, you know, wanted and placed over $7 million, you know, on them. Okay. Three of these have been killed.
Okay, I understand your point, but what is the purpose of disclosing this if you are now saying that we know where they are, but there's nothing that we can do?
Well,
what is the purpose of disclosing this?
We have been accused in the past of not saying enough. So, you know, as much information as we have, and we think it will be useful to the public. For instance, if we say, if now that the Chief of Defense Staff says, you know, we know where they are, there's some, you know, measure of psychological relief for the parents. You know, but like he said, it's not something that the military can just move in and release the girls.
Earlier this month, the president has said, quote, wherever these girls are, we'll get them out. Does he still stand by that statement? Does he?
That is not a matter of standing by that statement. That is a forever statement. That is a standing statement. It will not change. Mm-hmm. We will find them. We have found them. We will get them, God willing.
He also visited there was a regional summit last weekend in Paris, where he also said, well, the regional leader said that they would obviously have total commitment to also supporting this effort. But he also said at this meeting that it could not be done without the support of regional power. So how do we interpret that?
That is so true. You know, and it's necessary for me to explain to your audience that one of the reasons why we've had a tough time curtailing this menace is because, you see, you know, we have borders that are like Arizona, you know, dry desert areas. So they're difficult to actually man. So it's important you have cooperation of your neighboring countries. We needed cooperation from Chad. We needed cooperation from Niger. We needed cooperation from Cameroon. These are basically Francophone countries. And for some reason or the other, you know, from local politics, they were not really too interested in cooperating with Nigeria.
You that. You're saying that cooperation was not forthcoming before. Are you saying that that is forthcoming before and now they have agreed? Is that what you're saying?
You know, in fact, we had a breakthrough last week when, for the first time, the intelligence communities of all the four countries met together in Nigeria and they have worked, you know, they've now agreed to work together. And, you know, this is the most important outcome of the Paris meeting. You see, because, you see, once these four nations, you know, their intelligence agree to work together, now the International Joint Task Force, which we have set together and we have set up, will now begin, you know, fully effective and operational. Then it's going to be a hard time for the terrorists to operate because we have firepower that is enough to drive the terrorists away or to even annihilate them. But what did they do? You know, once they come under the heat of our military, they escape into the neighboring countries, and by international convention, we cannot pursue them across our borders. But now, you know, now we don't even need to pursue them across our borders because our neighbors will also, you know, pursue them and, you know, push them back to us.
President Jonathan still, to my knowledge, has not visited Chibok where the girls were abducted from. Why is that?
It's something that government is thinking about. You know, it's a war zone. And it's not that, you know, the government is not, and the president doesn't want to visit it, the place.
With respect, excuse me, President Obama just went to Afghanistan, which is still a war zone.
Yes.
Why would he not visit a region in his own country people are experiencing so much pain?
You know, like the president said, you know, for us, one of the most important thing, you know, this is something that has come to us as a bolt from the blue. 270 girls kidnapped and being held by, you know, very, very dangerous terrorists. You know,
he's afraid to go.
No, what I'm trying to say is that the responsibility we have, you know, while the whole world is very passionate about it, we're all very concerned about it, but we have an extra burden of how to find out how to get them. We must one life.
So the Nigerian government is not capable of protecting the president should he visit this region.
That is not it. The president is more, you know, is focusing his attention more on the processes and and what needs to be done to get the girls out. Visiting the girls, it's okay. It will come when it will come. But, you know, it is more important for us. You see, there's a lot of focus of attention by the world on this issue of Chibok. But when the girls are finally released, that is not the end of the matter. It's not going to be the end of the matter. We've had to deal with Boko Haram for a couple of years now. We will still have to contend with that.
But you're saying you've had to deal with them for a couple of years now, but now you're saying it's a bolt out of the blue. So how is this possible?
What I said, bolt out of the blue, is kidnapping and abducting such a large number of girls
at the same time. But they have previously attacked
schools,
and they have previously attacked schools, and they have killed children.
Not on this scale. Not on this scale. 270 girls.
Do you see it as an escalation of tactics or of intent?
I see it more or less as a desperate move by a group that is, you know, that is actually winning, really. You know, it's a last desperate effort.
Oh, you're saying they're waning.
They're waning, yeah. You know, by a waning insurgency group, you know, to try to catch world attention. And also, you see, because, you know, prior to the kidnap, the Nigerian military was shelling on a daily basis the 60,000 square kilometer Sambisa forest. And it was just a matter of time for them to be decimated.
But by
taking the girls, they've got human shield. Those activities had to stop.
I see your point. You believe they're using them as human shields.
Yeah, they are.
But there's been more violence since the kidnapping. There were explosions in Jos. There were explosions in Kano. It seems as an escalation.
No,
you don't.
No,
you don't see it. So.
No. There's not been an escalation. You know, if you know, in 2011, when, you know, Boko Haram was at its peak, they were active in 11 states of the Federation. 11. Abuja, which is the capital of the country, we were having bombing of churches on a weekly basis. So, you know, all that has stopped. We have been able to push them away from about 9 states, you know, restricting them now to Borno State exclusively. So what do? Occasionally, they act outside Borno so as to show presence and to, you know, to still give the impression that they have capacity.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Dr. Doyin Okupe. He is a medical doctor. He is visiting the U.S., though, in his capacity as Senior Special Assistant on Public Affairs to President Goodluck Jonathan, the president of Nigeria. As you might imagine, we are speaking with him about recent events there, most especially the kidnapping of those more than 200 schoolgirls from northern Nigeria, which occurred in April. What do you say to those who believe that this is not just a matter of a failure of intelligence or a failure of skill, but it's really a more of a broader issue of a culture of impunity, like a culture of corruption that allows this kind of thing to go forward? What do you say to that?
I'm so sorry. You know, Everything you have said, you know, now in this last one, mm-hmm. 30 seconds is wrong. I'm surprised that, you know, people are talking this way. We all know the history of insurgency worldwide. Insurgency is bad news anywhere. In the last 40, 50 years, there's no nation on earth that has conquered insurgency anywhere. Look at it. I don't need to tell you. The facts are there. Anywhere you look at, you know, once, you know, you have them, it's a major, major problem. And it's not something that goes away in a jiffy. So, you know, Nigeria is just having its own. We are not prepared for this. And there's nobody, you know, of any high rank in the Nigerian military that actually went through training, you know, for counterinsurgency. No, nobody. We didn't. This is, you know, and this war is an asymmetrical war. It is borderless and it has no frontiers and no rules.
Do you believe that this war, is it escalating, or do you believe that the government is getting a handle on it?
The war actually is de-escalating. It's not escalating. It's getting down. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, the major act of taking 270 young female girls, all right, has brought world attention. Mm-hmm. So it may make it look as if it's bigger than it is. You know, Nigeria is, we have the resources, we have the capability, we have what it takes to really, you know, to overcome this menace. And we will. We will.
Before I let you go, a couple of more questions. And thank you again for your time and for
it's
coming
my pleasure,
to our studios.
It's my pleasure.
I'm sure you're aware of the social media campaign you alluded to earlier, the fact that this issue has, this terrible circumstance has garnered worldwide attention. There's a hashtag, Bring Back Our Girls, that started in Nigeria and went global. What is your thought? What is your thought about this? Do you find it encouraging that citizens are so engaged, that people around the world are so engaged? Do you find it frustrating? How do you respond to it?
There's nothing so inspiring and so encouraging, you know, than, you know, what the world has actually become. The world has become a global community, a place where we, you know, we empathize. I imagine that it is today. I mean, today is Nigeria. Tomorrow it could be Mexico. It could be India. You know, what it means is that the world community will no longer tolerate any infamy, any act that is, you know, that's against humanity. So we are happy that outside Nigeria, you know, people can spend time and feel for our people, for our own children, you know, for which we ourselves are extremely depressed about. But you see, the real thing is, there's a changing of the narratives. Our people back home are now saying Boko Haram release our girls. So, you know, let us put the demand where it should be. Mm-hmm. You know, bring back our girls is good, is global, is trendy. But, you know, in terms of practicality, the real issue is the offender is Boko Haram. They are the ones that are in custody of the girls. So we're now seeing, Nigerian people are now saying in their millions, they're saying Boko Haram release our girls now.
Is there anything that you would wish the international community to do? Is there anything that people, for example, in the United States, who are very concerned, can do that you would find helpful at this point?
Like I said earlier on, you know, we've had, you know, international cooperations and partnership, you know, with the United States, with America, with Britain, France, China, Canada, you know, name it, and our neighbors back in Africa. We just need people's prayers, you know, in terms of capability. You know, we have what it takes, and we will do it. Mm. In terms of capability, we have what it takes.
Do you have any daughters?
I have three daughters.
You have three daughters.
I have a very large family. I have nine children.
You have nine children.
Three of them are girls.
Three of them are girls.
Yes. In fact, one of them is just about 20 years old. So, you know,
I'm wondering if you had a child in this situation, would you feel that the government was doing all that it could to rescue them?
Personally, I would be devastated. But, you know, at the same time, I have enough, you know, because I have enough within me, you know, maybe because from the, maybe that question is not fair because from my standpoint, I know what government is doing. From Chibok parents' standpoint, they are so far from government, they may not really know, but I know that this, you know, from day one, I want to admit, we may not have really used what, you know, the information capabilities of government to really speak out openly and talk, you know, publicly about this issue. But that should never, ever be misconstrued, you know, that we actually, you know, did not do anything. From the, I am in government and I'm aware. From day one, you know, once the news broke, the first action the president took was to, you know, was to deploy more troops, you know, to make up, which now makes about 20,000 troops in Borno State right now. Last, about 2 weeks ago, an additional consignment of soldiers were also drafted. The Air Force, you know, was, you know, was immediately activated. Communication gadgets, everything was done, but we did not make, we did not make an issue of it, you know, in terms of publicity, which, you know, this is a new age, it's an information age. Maybe the government was wrong in that, I accept, but it should never, ever be misconstrued to be inactivity. It is not true.
Dr. Doyin Okupe is the Senior Special Assistant on Public Affairs to Nigeria's President Goodluck Jonathan. He was kind enough to join us in our studios in Washington, D.C. while on a visit to Washington, D.C. I take it it's an official visit. You're visiting in official capacity.
It is.
So we thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here. God bless you.